To me, the boxing ring represents challenges, very difficult challenges, the kind that can, again, knock you out. But the idea that everyone can be a winner. And that's really the concept. In fact, on the back of my book, it says, step into the ring with life's challenges and come out a champion. And so it doesn't matter what you're going through, we can all be champions in our own lives. And it's so important to be our own champion of our own health and wellness. And when I refer to health and wellness, I'm always referring not just about the physical, but the emotional and the spiritual.
You are now listening to the podcast where authors inspire listeners to become authors, the Going North Podcast. I'm your host, certified self-leadership trainer, best-selling author, and book enthusiast, Dom Brightman. And you're going to be listening to a different author that will inspire you to join the business of immortality, known as authorship. Now let the fun begin. How's it going, my friends? I'm excited because yours truly has finally added another offering to the wonderful mission of helping you to advance further in life, known as the Going North Advancement Compass. This new book is a success journal. It is the fulfillment field guide for your success. So if you want a method to crack the code on how to be a good day architect, then pick up this wonderful book right here on Amazon.com. And we're going to put a link to that in the wonderful show notes. That way you can check it out like a library book, my friends. Now let's get on with today's episode. And today on the Highlight Reel Builder for Authors, known as the Going North Podcast, we got another super special, awesome human for you today, my friends. That's right indeed. Courtesy of PodcastGuest.com, a wonderful site where aspiring podcast guests can have one sheet of all their wisdom and information out there for the world to see and invite them on the show, or heck, maybe even businesses too, and podcast hosts. They can have their show blasted out to thousands upon thousands of wonderful emails across the globe. And we got another wonderful diamond in the rough who was able to get through 200 plus pitches today, y'all. We got a gem in the building, my friends. That's right indeed, because today's wonderful guest, she's a certified yoga therapist, as well as an award-winning communications specialist, a holistic coach, as well as a fellow business of immortality citizen known as an author. So let's give it up for the D and the C. We ain't talking about Washington, but we're talking about the delightful and celestial on some days, the wonderful Deborah Charnes. How you doing today, Deb?
Hello there, but I typically don't go north. I always go south because I can't deal with the cold.
Nope, too bad. You've gone north today. No escape. You are going to stare down a polar bear and like it. Oh, man. But hey, as with all introductions, they're not allowed to be 78 days long, and I probably only covered, I don't know, 7 minutes of my filling in the cavities I've made missed about you and how you became the Deborah that you are today.
Oh, wow. That's a tough question, the way you pose it, because in reality, I believe that it's right and we should give ourselves the opportunity to always be evolving. And I think, you know, if I look back on childhood, it's so common that teachers and parents and any adult will say to a little kid, "Hey, Johnny, what do you want to be when you grow up one day? You know, oh, a fireman, right?" But in reality, I don't believe that, again, you have to have that perfect line of the path. I think it's a lot more fun to move around, to go in circles, to go north and south, east and west, and try different things. And, you know, we're always evolving. And certainly as I got older, I was able to have the luxury of saying no to other things. And so then I think that was when I think I was able to let the real me come out. Because before, I had to put on, my work hat, my work suit. I used to iron my hair. I tried to fit in into the corporate world to earn a paycheck. And then finally, when I got to a certain age, I was like, hey, I don't have to do this anymore. I can do what I like, which is holistic health and writing and traveling, of course.
Yeah, there you go. Sorry indeed. So how'd you end up in the PR field?
That also was a little bit of an evolution. So I started in journalism, but I was no, never a Barbara Walters, but I did start working in journalism when I was in high school. And then I had a lot of, I was always working. I've worked, since I was 16 years old. And I even worked as a freelance journalist in Mexico when I lived in Mexico. And I loved journalism. But, again, we a lot of times just fall into a certain path and you just kind of go with the flow and wherever it takes you. And it took me to public relations. I was actually working for a television station in Chicago. I loved working for the television station. And I did so many different interesting things at the television station. I had never heard of public relations. I had no idea what it was. And my boss started giving me work to do that really was the marketing and the public relations work. And I loved it. Of course, I loved working at the TV station, but I was like, wow, this kind of fits with me, with what I like to do. I like events. I like, and of course, you have to be writing all the time. And so that's kind of how I initially got into the public relations field.
So it wasn't a kidnapping. That's good.
Well, I know.
It all sounded like it probably was. She's like, oh, nope, we're gonna share that public. Let's make sure that doesn't relate to the public.
No, but I had a lot of fun. I worked for the most part my entire life. I have worked in marketing communications because, to me, marketing communications is a little bit broader. And even as an author, and you know this, as an author, you have to be marketing your book all the time as well. So even though I have retired from the corporate marketing communications world, I left the corporate world and I opened up my own consultancy, which was marketing communications, but more with my slogan when I opened up my own business was dedicated to positive transformation. So rather than sell all the burgers and the booze that I used to sell before for my clients, I decided I'm going to do things that are going to help our community. And so I left the corporate world in 2011, and I felt better about the kind of work that I was doing, even if I wasn't getting the same big bucks. Not that I was ever getting big bucks, but when you are out on your own, you don't necessarily have that steady paycheck. But you feel good about yourself and about what you're doing.
Yep, that's right indeed. The saying goes, you gotta eat what you kill. That's right indeed. You ain't steady at all. It's like, yeah, some days you climb Mount Everest, and some days you wake up 10 feet under trying to get up to 6 feet, metaphorically.
Right.
I'll end up in this hole. I know it says boxing in the cover, but the golden glove wasn't me. Why am I here?
Did you say boxing on the cover?
Yeah.
Which, by the way, speaking of the the corporate public relations work that I used to do, I did represent boxing matches, professional boxing matches. And I've always been a pacifist. I've been vegetarian almost my whole life. And again, boxing to me was, oh my God, it's, you know, how can people hit each other and knock people out? Well, I really did have fun representing, you know, not necessarily representing the boxing matches, but being ringside and getting to know the boxers and the trainers and to watch it live. It was fun.
So Fruit of the Loom is proud. She was getting to know the boxers. That's right indeed. For a brief time.
Oh, that's a good one. I've never heard that before.
I guess that's what they say about quick wit. You got to be brief, right? Oh, man. So you're worried about throwing the hands and gloving up and throwing fish. You're about wonderful pigeon poses and helping folks to really get on the healthier side of the game. So what led you to yoga? Because was that something you picked up after escaping the good old corporate America?
No, I actually started yoga when I was very young. I was diagnosed with a musculoskeletal deviation. It was, you know, like, can't think of the word for it when you're born with it, congenital or whatever. So, and it was causing chronic pain. And the orthopedic surgeon, fortunately, did, you know, usually they want to cut you open and make a ton of money. And he basically, I was very young, I was an adolescent, and he basically told me what I needed to do was to strengthen the core and to work on my posture. So I began the physical side of yoga when I was an adolescent because of that. And I still have to work on my posture and on my core every day, you know, until I die. And about the same time, I don't know which came first, but I also had digestive disorders as long as I can remember. And so I went to a gastroenterologist, and, you know, the gastroenterologist diagnosed me with something that is stress related. Now, keep in mind, I'm an adolescent. You know, how much stress do you really have as an adolescent? And I was never the kind of person worried about my makeup or my clothes or the boys. I mean, I was never that kind of a person. I was always chill. But anyway, I learned that my digestive disorders were triggered by stress, and minor things can activate the stress in my gut. So when I was in the corporate world, I also was a crisis relations manager, you know, or a specialist. So I worked all the time with crises. And again, outwardly, I would be super cool and chill, but my gut would respond. But anyway, so when I was an adolescent, when I was diagnosed for the digestive disorders, that was when I came to meditation and breath work. So I have been doing yoga. To me, is not just the physical practice, it's everything. And so I've been involved with yoga since I was an adolescent. And when I was 19 years old, I was living in Mexico City, and I had severe digestive disorders for legal reasons. And, you know, the only thing that would calm me would be the breath work. So anyway, that's how I, you know, I've been doing the holistic solutions for more than 50 years, because I'm 65 years old now. But I like to say that I became my healthiest and my happiest once I got my AARP card and my AARP discounts, maybe those discounts made me happy. And now I'm on Medicare. So, hey, that makes me happy as opposed to paying for, you know, those bills.
Yeah. They put weed on those prices these days, it seems like. Health is wealth in more ways than one. Even though sometimes you may be thinking, oh, nah, I don't think it's health in that way here sometimes. Depending on where you go and depending on the practice. But hey, it all comes with the territory indeed.
Well, I was going to say, if you look at a medical bill and if you're responsible for it, that could give you a heart attack. Aside from the fact that it is the truth that the number one cause for people, I believe, becoming, I'm not sure if it's becoming homeless or losing or becoming bankrupt. I think it's the number one reason for people becoming bankrupt is because of medical bills. So it's our system is not the greatest. And I have my entire life been focused on holistic practices. So as I said, you know, from, you know, working to address chronic back pain or chronic digestive disorders, I will always have the back issues and the digestive issues, but I don't have to ever have pain because I know how to deal with it now. And I know what to do to make myself healthy and happy. And that's basically why I wrote the book. And I know you're an author. I know you've written many books. And I think a lot of times people think that people write books because they want fame or fortune. And I found that for the most part, most people write a book because they have something that they think is really important to share with the world. And they want to help other people by sharing their story and what they know. And that's why, of course, I wrote my book, From the Boxing Ring to the Ashram, with which is, it is a little brief, but no.
Yeah, she's like, I love brief land for a reason. So what inspired the title of your magical book, and what inspired you to write it, since you're not a boxer, but I hear one of your teachers are actually, or should I say, they're actually a boxer themselves.
Yeah, exactly. So the concept of my book was life lessons from a dozen of my gurus around the world. And my gurus are of all ethnicities, all religions. As I mentioned, they live in four continents. And to me, they are all yogis, even if they have never done traditional Western yoga. And one of them is from Texas, and she was a world-class boxer, actually rather old for doing that, you know, in terms of the career, because you have to be, you're usually really young when that happens. And she was rather old when she became, you know, the height of her career. But like Muhammad Ali, she got hit way too many times and she suffered traumatic brain injuries. She also was living in Los Angeles during the time of the Rodney King riots, and she was living very close to there. That she had already been assaulted twice, totally didn't have anything to do with the Rodney King riots, but she already had the history of the assaults. And so with everything going on during that stage, and even, you know, another thing that triggered her PTSD also was she was living in LA also when OJ was on the freeway, and the you know, and the helicopters, you know, and the sirens, all those things triggered her PTSD. Anyway, she had, as I mentioned, the traumatic brain injuries and the PTSD, chronic pain. And she ultimately had to leave the boxing ring. And she was on the verge of suicide. She shot up to 410 pounds.
Oh, wow.
The boxing was her life. And she had to leave it for her own safety. She had to leave it. And today, she's one of the most positive people that I know. She is just such a bright light. She's a Tai Chi teacher. She's also one of the most peaceful people that I know. And so the title of From the Boxing Ring to the Ashram, it refers to, one, the fact that she was in a boxing ring and she had the transformation, but also everyone can be transformed. And to me, the boxing ring represents challenges, very difficult challenges, the kind that can, again, knock you out. But the idea that everyone can be a winner. And that's really the concept. In fact, on the back of my book, it says, step into the ring with life's challenges and come out a champion. And so it doesn't matter what you're going through, we can all be champions in our own lives, and we can all, it's so important to be our own champion of our own health and wellness. And when I refer to health and wellness, I'm always referring not just about the physical, but the emotional and the spiritual. And those are often ignored, especially in our society. You know, we are taught, if you have any issue, you go to a doctor and they do all these lab tests, but they don't ask, hey, what's going on with your life? And as a yoga therapist, I was trained that as a yoga therapist, I do a 2-hour intake. And yes, I do want to see their medical records. Yes, I do want to know what meds they're taking. But I need to identify what their root problem is. And let's just say with my boxer from the book, maybe her root problem is not the traumatic brain injuries. Maybe it's the PTSD caused from being assaulted several times. So we have to really dig deep and find what the root problem is. And again, that's what I do as a yoga therapist. I have to address the root problem, which more often than not is emotional. And even good doctors today, good MDs, know that the bulk of physical problems are aggravated by stress. So we all know that stress elevates your blood pressure, but it does so much more. And something that I share in my book, which I think is pretty eye-opening, is that one of the chapters in my book is about Ayurveda, which I consider it the medicine from India. It's considered a life science, but to me, it's like traditional Chinese medicine and acupuncture and Ayurveda. And Ayurveda is all about holistic well-being and finding the root problems. And one of the chapters in my book, which delves into Ayurveda, it focuses specifically on the gut. And the concept in Ayurveda is that your gut, your digestive fire, rules your entire well-being, including your emotional well-being. And some people from the Western world may think, oh, that's kind of crazy. But what I talk about in my book, which I find fascinating, is now, because Ayurveda is 5,000 years old. But very new learnings in Western medicine talk about the gut microbiome. And what they are learning about the gut microbiome is that it is responsible for your entire wellness, including things like Parkinson's or, you know, dementia. I mean, pretty much everything. So the same concept from Ayurveda from 5,000 years ago about how your gut health rules everything, modern Western medicine has just learned that too. So that's, I think, a pretty wow statement. And what I do in my book is I feature my gurus. So my guru for that chapter was my Ayurvedic teacher in India, who is a lead trainer, not only in India, but in Japan and in Canada. And so he's my guru for that chapter, but then I back up everything with clinical studies, research to prove everything. And then I give firsthand testimonials about what I have experienced and how I am, of course, like, again, testimonial for everything that I put in the book. And then I also have 5 easy tips from each of my gurus. And then I come up with something where I have a give it a try section where everything I basically propose in my book is free or nearly free and are things that can be done, you know, in as little as 10 minutes a day. And ideally, they're all enjoyable things to do. So how can you say no, right?
That's right, indeed. Some good stuff, indeed. So my goodness, so with the process of putting the book all together, what would you consider your biggest lesson that you learned about yourself in the process?
I guess that I can do it. I think I've always been a type A person, and I have been a writer my entire life, but I could bang out 1,000 words like that. But to write an entire book and to do all the research that needed to be done, and then I had to do a lot of interviews because I feature 12 people, and just kind of putting it all together. For some people, of course, it can be overwhelming. And I am pretty, I don't want to say methodical, but I'm very detail oriented and I'm very good at putting together action plans. And the other thing is that I do believe, of course, I had positive affirmations that I repeated the whole time to get me through it. But I also tenacious and nothing's going to stop me. I'm very pleased about that. And so it felt good. And if I can just mention my book is about my 12 gurus. At the back of the book, there's a portion that talks about the 13th guru. And I'm just going to read a short little bit. The one guru missing from this book is my mother. Her physical appearance, personality, and emotions seem to be the opposite of mine. When she wheeled me around in my baby buggy, people questioned whether we were related. Although the similarities were difficult to recognize before, now I see many shared attributes. My mother was a writer. Whiteout felt-tipped pens and colored paper for her drafts cluttered half of the kitchen table. Even after the invention of word processors, she banged everything out on her clunky, black, upright Royal Manual typewriter, striking those keys with force so something would appear on the page. She was tenacious. Receiving rejection letter after rejection letter. My dad complained that the earnings for her writing barely covered the postage from her submissions. Anyway, that's just a little bit, but I think that gives you a little bit of insight into what motivated me as well. My mother has passed. I do have an altar and I have a picture of my mother, and I would, do a little prayer to her before I would start my daily writing. And the one thing that I wish she were alive for would be so that she could see that I was a published author.
Ah, that's right, indeed. So I'm talking about indeed. And the good news is, you're honored her in the books. That means she gets to live on forever. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So, my goodness, it sounds like some setbacks happened along the way. So, what would you consider your biggest setback that actually became your biggest setup for success?
I would go all the way back to my childhood and to my physical issues. I was the only one in my family that had the chronic back pain. And I was the only one in the family that had the digestive disorders. And they, again, because I had those physical issues so early, it put me on the path for being health-minded. I would say most people my whole life have considered me a health nut because I have, again, I've been that health nut pretty much since I was an adolescent. I do admit when I was in high school, my earlier years in high school, I would drink, do you remember Tab, TAB? Now I don't drink coffee. I don't drink any soda. I don't even drink black or green or white tea. So I follow a very, very healthy diet. But again, I would say that if I didn't have those physical issues, then I'd be like everyone else, in terms of my health. The other thing that, so again, that was when I was an adolescent. And so I've always been extremely health conscious. And as I mentioned, I've been doing all different types of yoga, including the physical form of yoga, my whole life. Nonetheless, when I was over 50, I don't know how old, but a little bit past 50, I was diagnosed pre-diabetic. I was at the right weight. I've been overweight my whole life. So for the most part, I would say I've been overweight my whole life. But by the time I was diet, not obese, but I've never been a skinny person. But when I was diagnosed, I was at the right weight for me. And when I got that diagnosis, I sat in my car and I cried because I did everything right. And yet, I got the diagnosis of pre-diabetic. I lived in a diabetic household. So even when I drank coffee, I never, ever in my life added sugar. I never ate white flour, white sugar, white rice. I've always been very careful about the sugar content of my foods. But again, if I look back now, that pushed me even further. After I got that diagnosis, that was when I decided to become a yoga instructor, and then after to become a yoga therapist. And I now have many other modalities under my belt that I'm certified in. Of course, my Ayurvedic studies were all after that. And I specialize now as a yoga therapist in blood sugar management, in weight management, in stress management, which affects blood sugar, and of course, in the digestive disorders, which also affects blood sugar management. And then one other thing I specialize in is bone health. And the digestive disorders also very much affect bone health. So, again, if it weren't for these physical issues, maybe I'd be drinking my tab and and who knows what. No. No, but seriously, it pushed me to be much more physically active than I already was and to be stricter than I, again, I've always been strict with my diet and with my lifestyle, but no one is the same. And if I did what the normal person would be doing, I would be probably taking insulin 3 times a day. And as it is, I take zero drugs and I'm 65 years old.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's right, indeed. That's the ideal way to be, like not have to be on darn prescription meds, because that mess can get annoying after a while, especially. And it sucks being pre-diabetic at the time. Pretty sure you're probably far from that state, I imagine. It actually reminded me of one of our past guests, I believe. I think it was Carolyn Lebanowski. Like, chick was peak performance. Like, that was really her whole life. Just I think she, like, usually just staying active, staying healthy. And then out of nowhere, in her, I think it was late 40s, early 50s, I think there's like high blood pressure and maybe even prediabetes along with that. And comes to find out, it was because it was in the darn genes, sadly. It's like no escape. It's like darn.
Of course. And that, of course, is my case. It's in the genes. Aside from my mother, my grandmother, my aunt, my uncle, they all had either diabetes or pre-diabetic. My mother died from diabetes, even though she took very good care of her blood sugar.
Yeah, definitely sucks a lot. Definitely sucks a lot indeed. And heck, even now, if I'm not mistaken, you do the best of both worlds. You got a Ayurvedic doctor, and you also do the whole yearly checkups with the good old modern day doctors. So you got the best of both worlds going on. So anything else you do to stay in your peak performance shape that you are today?
Yes, spirituality. So again, you know, as a yoga therapist, it's not a lot of it is not just about the physical. It's also about diet, it's about your lifestyle, it's about everything, and it's also about spirituality, however you perceive that. So there are so many different ways you can perceive spirituality. I don't like to talk about religion because everyone is different. But as I mentioned in my book, all my gurus have different religions. One of the chapters is based on a guru of mine who is a US Air Force rabbi chaplain, and it's a female. She was the first female rabbi chaplain in the US Air Force. And as a chaplain, of course, she works with people of all religions. And the chapter that features her, it's about how and why everyone, regardless of their religion or if they don't have a religion, how everyone should practice the Sabbath. And if you think about it, especially the way our society is now, you know, we're all like, you know, we've got these devices attached to ourselves, you know, we can't live without them. That's horrible. So we need to, at least, at the very least, have a digital disconnect once a week. And then I take that digital disconnect further. I don't get in my car. Actually, I try to not get in my car 3 times a week because driving a car, even though I've been doing it for 50 years, it is stress producing. So if we can refrain from driving in cars, and I've got to say, you know, I grew up in Chicago where I took public transportation, and public transportation is not stress producing because you can read a book, you can listen to music, you're not, you know, worried about ramming into another car. But again, the way that a lot of us live, it's just very stress producing. So anyway, in terms of spirituality, and I don't, you know, the this digital disconnect, it's not all about spirituality, but the way the rabbi talks about it, she also encourages you to find little things to do that once a week. Maybe it's time to invite people over for dinner or to light candles and to say some prayers. Another one of my chapters is based on a Native American elder, and it's about how we can connect with Mother Earth and with nature, and how we can create that spirituality from more a non-denominational perspective that is inherent in human beings, in our planet. And then the last chapter, which is my favorite, is my boxer. And because it's all about gratitude. And I told you that every chapter has a give it a try section, something you can do for free. Well, I tell people how they can make their own gratitude cards. And these are my gratitude cards. So I took coloring books, you know, adult coloring books. I colored them and I cut them. And then I have all these different sayings. And when I go to my classes, or even when I meet with my daughter and her husband, I'm like, pick a card. So I'm just going to pick a card at random now. And this will be for you. Okay. Oh, this is by Maya Angelou. Let gratitude be the pillow upon which you kneel to say your nightly prayer. And let faith be the bridge you build to overcome evil and welcome good. So again, to me, the idea of a gratitude practice is about a type of a spirituality. And this message in particular is definitely about, to me, about a spirituality, regardless of what your beliefs are. So anyway, that's just, you know, these are my gratitude cards. And I love my gratitude cards. And hopefully my students love them too.
Ah, sounds like someone likes to have their brain stay on creative mode. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. So my goodness, since you've been on so many interviews, is there a question that you wish folks would ask you more often?
No, but something that came to my mind, and it may be because of some of the books that I've been reading, is, well, first of all, just to back up, since March of 2020, pandemic, I have been leading a weekly virtual book club on Instagram and Facebook. And it's basically it can be a 10, 15 minute chat, and I read excerpts of different books. And until the end of the year, I'm trying to have all uplifting, inspirational books. And the one that I featured just recently was by, of all people, she's not like a favorite artist or musician of mine, but it was Dolly Parton. And I was so impressed reading her book about what she does. And I'm not talking about from an artistic perspective, but about what she does to give back. And to me, giving back is so important. One of the chapters in my book is about karma yoga. Karma yoga is called selfless service. And at one point, Dolly asked her mother, "Mama, why did God bless me with all this success when there are other people that are so much more talented than me?" And her mother said, "It's because he knew what you would do with your talent," meaning, not meaning recording or being in a movie, but giving back. And so I guess in terms of answering your question about what question I would like to hear is, how do I give back, and how do you give back, and how can everyone give back? Because to me, that's essential.
Yeah, so that means you're going to be reading your book in audio form, right? That's one way to do it. Reach more people. Get Deb's voice in your ears.
Well, that's definitely on my to-do list.
Yeah, well, there you go. Come on. Don't sit on your gift now. That's right indeed. Right indeed. Need to spread your influence. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. Spread it further than 500 yoga students. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. All of them doing the tree pose at once.
Well, I'm very happy that you know, like you mentioned before, the pigeon and now tree. So I'm glad to hear that.
Well, there's going to be a forest reference on an episode every now and then. She has her own yogic forest, y'all, metaphorically. It ain't just the poses, it's about the mind, y'all, the therapy.
Exactly.
That's right, indeed. So since health is pretty much the theme of this wonderful episode, a fun question for you. So if your fabulous book, From the Boxing Ring to the Ashram, Wisdom for the Mind, Body, and Spirit, if that book were a food, what would it be and why?
Well, it would have to be free food, maybe a buffet. And of course, it would have to be healthy. So maybe a salad bar buffet. And it would, I got to tell you, you know, I live in Texas, I'm from Chicago, but to me, the best, I wouldn't call them salad bars, but deli bars are in New York City. And what I love about the ones in New York City is that they have food from all different parts of the world that are on that same table. So it's like a hot and cold salad bar, and they have things from all over the world. So I think that would be what my book would be. So you can pick up some chana masala from India and some falafel and some sushi and maybe apple pie too.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's right indeed. It ain't just about boxing rings and golden gloves. It's about raising the bar too, y'all. That's right indeed. Give your belly a workout. Salad bar style. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. That way you won't be a green with envy. You'll have multiple colors.
Well, they do say that you are supposed to have the colors of your rainbow on your plate. But you've got, it looks like, the colors of the rainbow behind you.
Oh, yeah. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. Because the bookshelf is too predictable.
Well, actually, the colors, though, that you have behind you, I don't know if you, I mean, it really seems to blend right in with my cover. And my cover, it's, you probably can't see, but around the fuchsia is gold and teal and a type of an orangish red, which is very similar to what you have behind you. So I think you could be on my book cover.
Ah, there you go. I knew you were a fan of chocolate somehow. Especially the raw form, the Choco form.
Well, yeah, seriously, for me, I buy all my cacao pure or organic in Central America, 100% sugar-free.
Yeah, she's like, I want your poison in there, bruh. I'm trying to live, dangubbit. Oh, man. Well, we're coming down to the magical question that every guest gets to receive, and that is, if you're to wake up tomorrow and you were 25 again, but you're still in the current year, so what advice would you give to yourself?
Well, I feel that I don't want to say wasted time, but I spent far too much time doing the corporate thing because I had to be a responsible adult and I had to take, you know, I had to have a paycheck to support my family. And I have seen lots of 20-something people who they don't have a job and they just kind of work around the world where they get, and I do this too. I also work around the world where I don't get paid, but I get room and board. And I would be more that roaming person that wouldn't be concerned about the paycheck and about doing what we're supposed to do, but just do what I want to do.
There you go. That's right indeed, yo. That's right indeed. You got options on the planet. That's right indeed. If you got options, take advantage. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. Ain't just stock options either. That's right indeed. Talking about fulfillment options, y'all. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. Don't think about the eclair. We're just talking about the deep soul fulfillment, y'all. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. The right feeling. That's right indeed. And for those who've been hearing the life of death for the past half hour plus, you probably only got 0.01% of what she has to offer. So for those who need to dive into the other 99.9% of what you do, Deb, and cop some magical copies of your book, what's the best way for folks to do so?
Very easy. Go to my website, which is my name, Deborah, Deborah. charnes.com/book, B-O-O-K. And there you can find all different ways where you can buy my book, and you can also read some of the reviews and some of the endorsements. I got a lot of really cool endorsements for my book. And so, yeah. And you can see what other people, other readers say about my book.
There you go. That's right indeed. They're called gloves for a reason. You can't just have one. You got to have two for a whole pair if you got two hands, you know. That's right indeed. So there you have it, folks. We're going to put a link to Deb's wonderful site in the show notes. That way you can keep in contact with her and what she's doing, so you can cop some copies of her magical books and share it with your family, friends, cat, dog, penguin, camel, kangaroo, and skunk. That's right indeed. But make sure the skunk is at a distance, y'all. That's right indeed. Or you will be going to a boxing ring instead of an ashram. That's right indeed, because you'll be like, I got to fight this bitch. It's freaking poisonous. Well, before we have a random camel try to get in the crow pose, any parting words before we close up shop, Deb?
Yeah, just that everyone really has the ability to be their healthiest and their happiest. And it can be enjoyable to get there. It doesn't have to cost any money. And you just kind of have to decide, hey, I'm going to give it a try. And there are so many different ways, and that's why my book gives you many different options, so you can kind of pick and choose and try one and then another. And just like another one of the chapters is about laughter therapy. So there are so many different fun ways to be healthier and happier.
If you're listening to this, that means you're one cool individual. If you want to be cooler than two cucumbers, share this episode with someone that you think will enjoy it too. And be sure to subscribe